Hi guys, good morning. I mean, good afternoon. It's actually 1 p.m., almost 1 p.m., and today is Thursday, God, June 6th. And I don't know if you can listen, but it's really noisy today. So I'm going to very quickly, this is like a very symbolic thing to do, to close the window. Realizing that probably the noise is going to be exactly the same if I leave the window open. It's more of like a psychological, like a mental thing. Despite the fact that I'm not doing anything, the noise will be exactly the same. Anyway, hi guys. Welcome to a new podcast newsletter. God, oh no. You know what I just did? I, by accident, left some of the window, some of the curtain stuck with the, oh, there you go, on the, when I shut the window, part of the curtain was like trapped. Anyway, now everything's fine. How are you guys? Today is a very hot, humid day in Brooklyn. I picked the worst day for wearing jeans. I'm wearing this like very tight, they're actually really thin, but they're tight jeans, and I never wear them because they're tight as hell. And today, since it's very hot and humid, I'm like, why do I do this to myself? Anyway, I'm in this weird like period in which I shaved my legs 2 days ago. So I think it's too soon for me to shave them again. I know a lot of people are like, it's fine, it's okay, no one can tell, blah, blah. But today I couldn't manage the I don't care situation, and today I do care. There's days in which I really don't care, and you know what? The next time I am in this situation again, I'm just going to wear a skirt because this is insane. This is insanity. Welcome to a new podcast, my loves. How are you? I feel it's been so long, but it's actually been 2 weeks since the last time we talked. Wait a second, I want to sit down because I want to comment your comments. This is our section, and I have also a podcast in Spanish, and there's a section called Comentando Comentarios, which basically means commenting your comments. And I just loved your comments, you guys. I just read them. And Tejen made a very good point that I was the stage manager of my moving, and that's exactly the word that I was looking for, like the position. I am very new into, I still don't know like the differences between some positions and careers in English, so it's really hard for me to tell which one it is. So Tejen, you were exactly, that was exactly the point that I wanted to make. I was the stage manager. And also, Geraldine wrote this gorgeous comment, saying, no, I don't want you, go away. This like weird window opened, out of nowhere. Geraldine said, hi fam, blah, 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 Geraldine. And she says, it's funny how we have never met, but I feel so happy whenever you upload. Thanks for your podcast and in general everything you make. Your authenticity helps remind me that I'm not alone in this world and I'm not the only one experiencing these emotions, thoughts. Geraldine, your comment just like touched one side of my soul very deeply, because I feel exactly the same with you guys. I feel this unexplainable huge love for you, even though I don't know you. And every time I see you guys, I see like this huge, like, what is the word exactly? Like a sea of people, just with all so much love and support. And I have this like this really, I was going to say unexplainable, but it's really explainable love for you. And I love reading your comments and seeing you there. And I just wanted to say out loud that this is absolutely mutual and your feelings are absolutely corresponded. Do you say corresponded? Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for writing down comments to you, Geraldine, but everybody else, because I know how annoying, obnoxious, out of the way it is for someone to be listening to a podcast and leave a comment on another website. Because I think you listen to the podcast in one app, but you have to go back to Patreon to like mindfully leave a comment. Anyway, thank you guys. So basically what has happened since the last time we talked, I mean, I say we, but we know it's me because I hate this like monologue situation, with podcasts, but I keep feeling like we're both talking. Is that insane? Anyway, so Ed and I bought bikes. I know I left an update, after I recorded the podcast, but we purchased, 2 bikes. I was sort of like in between several ones, and it's funny how people take the in a very nice way or in a horrible way when you don't pick them. So I was about to purchase a bike really close to my studio, and the guy who answered me the email after I told him, like, by the way, I'm not going to buy your bike because I bought another one. But thank you so much for your patience and for replying, answering my emails and questions and stuff like that. And he was like, Fran, it's okay. Don't worry. I wish you the best. Have an amazing summer, blah, blah, blah. Like the nicest guy ever. And I said the exactly same thing to another guy, that I loved his bike, but I found another one. And thank you so much for your patience and for taking the time to reply and blah, blah, blah. And he said... he actually said, oh, I guess you're a slut because you love everything, don't you? Something like, he actually used the word slut, and it was so shocking for me, you guys, because it was so escalated, like, it escalated so quickly, like, out of nowhere, I was a slut because I didn't pick his bike, which was so weird anyway. But yeah, let's take that out of the way and just focus on how amazing it is that I have a bike right now. And it's nice to have a bike again because it's been a while since the last time I had one. My first bike, I got it when I and I moved to Berlin. Before that, I have never owned a bike. And this was in 2014 or 13, I guess. And it's been really nice to, I mean, we haven't actually ride the bike that many times because we didn't have a helmet. And I don't know if it's illegal to ride a bike without a helmet, but everybody does. So we want to just be careful. And I bought the silliest cat helmet ever, you guys. I'm going to take a picture and see if I can attach it to the newsletter, like the extras. But it's really silly, and I just fell in love with it. It's in like a nutcase helmet. I don't know if you know the brand, but... They're insanely expensive, but really cute. I was like, I'm going to invest in myself. I've never had a cute helmet before. So I bought a cute helmet and we got lights. And now we're like properly safe and secure bike riders. Can you say that? Bike riders? Anyway, and I'm very happy that now we can enjoy the city as bikers. Did you say bikers? Yes. So that's the bike update. And the other update is that I was away for eight days, actually. I went to Seville. It's weird to say Seville. Sevilla, Spain, for 8 days. And it was amazing. I asked David, one of the owners of the gallery in which I did the workshop at. Anyway. And I was like, David, please, could you please buy the ticket for 2 extra days before and after the workshop so Ed and I can sleep and adjust to the time difference? Because this is the second time Ed and I go to Seville to do the workshop, but it's the first time we go from the US. So there's 6 hours in between, my loves. And we needed those extra days. And he was like, yeah, don't worry, because... the gallery invites so many artists. I think every weekend there's a new artist coming doing a workshop. So they are renting a flat permanently. So me asking for 4 days wasn't like they were going to pay an Airbnb for the extra days. Anyway, the thing is that it wasn't a problem. It wasn't an issue. And we stayed longer. And it was so nice, my loves, because I needed that time to rest. Sevilla is one of the gorgeous cities I have ever seen, next to Hastings, of course. But it was, it's like the quintessential European city, because it has such like tiny and narrow streets, and everybody's like drinking and eating outside, enjoying the nice weather. There's orange trees everywhere, so the city smells amazing, especially one time of the year that I have never been to specifically in Seville, but they say everybody like, because the flower that grows on those trees smells, it like it's like a very perfumed flower, the azar flower. And yeah, if you picture like one image of Europe, it's Seville. And it was so nice. It was so nice to just like sleep and not put the alarm on, or not being awake by the cats. And it was really nice to draw and to be with that. It was like, it felt like a honeymoon, honestly. And we did the workshop. It was amazing. A lot of the people who went to the first workshop went to the second one. And it was such a hard, like, mixed feeling situation, my loves, because I was experiencing deep, imposter syndrome. I couldn't believe someone was paying for, like, to take a workshop with me, because I feel like, this is the thing, guys, I'm going to be super honest, but this is the thing, I feel like I know things, but all of the things I know are for free, like, they're on the internet for free. So even though I feel like I can share some knowledge about the things that I know, everything you need is already for free. So why someone will pay to learn something from me? Do you know what I mean? So I was experiencing deep imposter syndrome, and I'm like, I just want to people to learn things and have a good time and make their money's worth, because I know when you decide to go to a workshop, you could do so much with that money, and to decide to spend it on a workshop is like, okay, this workshop needs to be the freaking bomb. But yeah, so make sure to have like lots of activities planned. And the workshop was basically, if you have no idea, it was basically about how to edit text and how to compose images with the text, as well as visual narrative, and how, for example, I organize information visually and text-wise on my illustrations, not only on Instagram, but on graphic novels. So the workshop was mainly for illustrators or artists who lack editing skills or writing skills. So it was really nice to, for example, focus on how to get new ideas for Instagram and how to make jokes. I mean, not how to make jokes, but how to sort of like organize the information and how to make like witty and meaningful or funny content online, as well as how to take an idea and turn it into a graphic novel or a comic, writing wise. And how Ed and I worked together, for example, for the friendship book and stuff like that. It was a really nice, complete, like, very, like, whole, is that the word that I'm thinking of? Workshop, in the sense that it was very rich. And I hope someone, everybody, hopefully everybody, but, like, someone took something meaningful and useful out of the workshop. So yeah, but it was weird to have such an amazing time with everybody. Everybody's so nice, you guys. And there's a couple of people who are still friends, and they met over the workshop that happened last year. So the vibe of the workshop was really, really nice. It's so nice that people are not competitive. At least during my workshops, no one is trying to like push each other to the side, or no one is trying to take space out of other people. Or I know that usually happens on workshops where, for example, and this I remembered asking this to David, like, have you ever had a weird experience with these workshops? This is like almost gossip, my loves. Are you ready for some juicy gossip? And he was like, there was one guy, and he was a DreamWorks, like the company, artist. And it was really weird because the people who took the workshop, they were overly trying to impress the teacher because they wanted him to give them like recommendations or like possibly a job offer to work on at DreamWorks, like the company in I think it's San Francisco based, the animation company. So all of the people who went to the workshop, it wasn't like they didn't want to learn per se, but they just wanted to impress the teacher and like being the teacher's pet all the time. And I think that's really, really sad. Don't you think? Like, because immediately you don't feel sure. I mean, not sure, but that wasn't the word, but you don't feel confident or safe enough. And it becomes suddenly something like the feeling that you can't share what you're working on because you feel threatened by your classmates, and by exposing what you write and by exposing how you're drawing something, you become really vulnerable because everybody is going to the word's not judge. It is going to give you feedback about your work. And being on that position of being super vulnerable, it takes a lot. So if the vibe of the class isn't right, it sucks, right? Anyway, I just wanted to say that that wasn't my case. Everybody on the workshop was so nice. And they were just like talking to each other and having a nice time. And it was so nice to see them laughing hysterically or like laughing. There was one moment when they're laughing hysterically. But it was so nice for me to see them laughing and just like having a good time, even when Ed and I weren't around. So anyway, yeah, that was really nice. And the rest of the time, my loves, was rest. Ed and I wanted to go to Córdoba, which is a city that isn't that far away from Sevilla. But in the end, we decided not to go because if we would have decided to go, did I say that correctly? Anyway, we would have had to wake up really early that morning. And we're like, what are we doing? Let's rest and sleep and not put the alarm on and just like draw and read and have a good time. So that was what we did. And Sevilla was the best, you guys. During Sevilla, I also had some like really nice, just like what is the word when you realize something, like a mind-blowing thing. It wasn't like a mind-blowing thing, but a realization. That's the word. And I think Anna Hasteki said it very nicely. I remember Anna left a comment saying that how it's very important to reframe our thoughts. And I'm going to steal that phrase, Anna, because I think it's exactly what I'm trying to say right now. So I've been really, really, not really, I'm not going to saturate, but in the back of my mind, I've been worrying a lot about my website, my loves. I'm not gonna lie, I've been working, it's unfair that I say I have been working because a bunch of people in Chile have been working on that website on and off for about a year now. And it's a website that got paused, like on hold or like paused for a couple of months when Ed and I were moving or when things weren't working out, in the sense that I needed more time or they needed more time. So in between like on and off, the website has been on hold, or they've been putting work on the website for a year or something like that. And right now I need my website. Like, I had enough, and it's been really hard to be positive about it because I want my shop to be back again, and I don't want it to be on Etsy. I want my own website to be up again. And it's been really hard for me to stay positive and calm about it because I always try to be super gentle and like patient with other people, especially if they're going through a hard time. But it's getting to a point where it's really hard for me to be patient, because I feel like, you know, when you start to notice that people are taking advantage of you because you're too patient and nice to them. I hate when that happens, and I feel it's happening right now. And I hate being an asshole. I hate when people are just like mean, unnecessary. So it's very hard for me to be demanding and not being an asshole at the same time. So anyway, the website is taking so long, and I need to launch my t-shirt stuff. I would love to launch the t-shirt stuff. And I've been waiting for so long, and I feel like during my time in Sevilla, because I think I was so calm and peaceful, and because mainly I was rested, I had a very rested mind, I realized, okay, friend, you know what? You're doing the best you can. This is the best you can do right now. And I realized that all of this website stuff and all of the t-shirt stuff had turned from being something really enjoyable and exciting to a pressure that I put on myself. A pressure that, of course, has been sort of like exaggerated, or it's there mainly because the website's taking too long, but also because I feel this pressure that I need to do this right now. I don't know, just because I thought to myself, it will be nice to have the website up and everything ready in April, because in summer people tend to wear t-shirts more often, so this is the perfect time for me to sell t-shirts. And now it's almost summer officially this month, and the website is not up, and I don't know, I suddenly, this whole thing suddenly became super super like a pressure thing, like a timing thing, like a TikTok type of thing. And I'm like, I'm not enjoying this anymore. I mean, I am, but it became like a worry thought. It became like a stressful thing. And while I was in Sevilla, Ed and I were having sangria. We were having the best time, honestly. And we were having dinner, and he was like, I'm so worried about your website. The website is not ready. What are you going to do? And I looked at Ed, and I don't know, something just like came to me. And I'm like, you know what, Ed? I realize this is not something enjoyable for me anymore, and I need to take the pressure off, because otherwise I'm not going to have a good time with it. People are really patient. Every time I go on Twitter, guys, someone is having a problem with something in relation to their website or like to their shop. For example, I don't know, a couple of artists, for example, are printing their books, and the books are not coming in for time, this important event, for example, or the website sold out of one item of something, or something is going to take longer to ship than expected. And usually when you tell people, when you let them know, they're so understanding. So I'm like, if this is the situation and things are going to take longer than expected, I am just going to, just like, there's nothing I can do. I'm going to do my best, of course. But most of the time, people are really understanding. So what Anna said about reframing my thoughts, that's exactly what I'm going to do with the website. Of course, I will still push these guys to make sure that the website is up this month. And I'm going to do my best, but not at the cost of turning this into like a duty, like a pressure thing, like I'm being forced to do this, so I might as well do it like really fast and really stressed, and I don't want that, not for this website. So I'm trying to turn my mind around. I'm trying to turn my thoughts around. For example, another example, my flat, you guys, we haven't had the time to properly enjoy the flat because we moved and then we went to Seville almost right away. But right now, there's actually a group of men working outside my window, and it's noisy as hell. Today was my first morning in the flat, and you realize how freaking noisy it is. I mean, it's New York. You can listen to the siren right now going on. but New York is really, really noisy, even if you're in Brooklyn. Every once in a while, we can listen to God. Every once in a while. This is the amazing example. Anyway, every once in a while, in our flat, we can listen to the train go by, like the subway go. I think it's the Q train. I have no idea which train it is, actually. But we can listen to the train, and we become used to listen to the train every once in a while, and it, because it happened to us in Berlin as well, and we don't mind. It's like having like a very noisy clock. At some point, you stop listening to the clock. But this is like putting some extra noise in our lives, and I have no idea how long the reparations are going to take. I just burped, for by the way, that's why. Anyway, you don't need to know. Anyway, so I'm just really worried, and not worried, but sad because of my cats. Cats are very sensitive to noises, and having the train go by every once in a while and some men working literally outside our window, it's just like, oh man. And we have no idea how long that those reparations are going to take. Hopefully not that long, but most likely they're going to be there for the entire summer, or at least 2 months. So I'm like, oh no, this is God, we really didn't need this right now. But anyway, but I'm trying to reframe things, like at least I can go away, at least I can be here in my studio, even though it's noisy as well. It's not as noisy as my flat, and the noise is not permanent. Like at some point they have to go home, and they're not going to be there during weekends, so it's fine. Reframing thoughts. Another reframing thoughts, and I'd rather tell people once something works out, but for you guys, I always make an exception, and I always let you know when things are in the midst of happening. But anyway, 2 weeks ago, the New Yorker contacted me, and I am still freaking out about it. And they basically asked me to do a couple of comics for them as a, like an ongoing collaboration. So it's every Tuesday, if I have something that I wanted to send them, I can send those files over, and they can decide if they wanted to publish the comics or not. Of course, I was like freaking out about it, because the New Yorker is like the holy grail of all of the illustrators. If you ask any illustrator, probably they're going to answer that the top five companies they will love to work with is the New Yorker. At least all the illustrators, this is an, of course there are exceptions, and I'm not talking about all of the illustrators in the world, but at least I wanted to work with the New Yorker for a long time. And it's funny, because when I was doing the talk in Greenville, they asked me, what would you love to do now, or like a dream client you would love to work right now? And I say, oh, the New Yorker. So it's funny how, I don't know, the universe works, and a couple of weeks later they contacted me. Anyway, and for the past couple of weeks, I've sent 20 ideas, and 20 really good ideas, ideas that I'm fucking proud of, my loves, like insanely proud of. I'm like, I have no idea I had those ideas, and none of them got picked. I sent the first files, and I'm like, these are the best ideas ever. I have no more ideas left. This is all I got. And I send them, and they say no. And then the past week, I sent another bunch of ideas, 10 ideas, and I'm like, I have no ideas left. This is all I got. They're really funny. They're witty. They're exactly what the New Yorker publishes. And they're like, we love them, but none of them got sold. And I have no idea what to do, my loves. I mean, of course, I'm going to keep sending the ideas, because I want to get published. I'm just... Please, I beg you, don't tell this to anyone, because I would love to tell everybody once I get one published, and then I can tell and show everybody what I've been working on. But it's been weird, because I am so proud of everything I've done. And though the New Yorker saying no doesn't change how I feel about these ideas. I think they're amazing. I can't believe they're not publishing them. And because I do feel they're really funny. And I had no idea I got this into myself. I have no idea I had those like one frame jokes in myself. Thank God I've been practicing for years on my Instagram. I think that's why they contacted me in the first place, because they read my Instagram. They saw my Instagram feed. But it's also really sad, because I'm like, I wonder if they're going to publish me. I'm going to keep sending them ideas, my loves, because I want them to say yes. I am in desperate need from them to say yes. And I knew when Ed and I were going to move to New York, things were going to get tougher and harder, because I am fighting like the big leagues, and I'm competing against like illustrators that get published in the New Yorker on a regular basis. So of course I knew this was going to be hard, and I was going to get rejected a lot. So I'm ready. It's just frustrating. But I'm still really proud. I can't wait to show you the ideas, my loves. They're really, some of them are kind of crazy. And I was like, of course they're not going to publish this one, because they're really out there. But yeah, so what Anna said, Anna, you're a golden god. This is exactly what I'm trying to do right now, reframing thoughts. And this is not, of course, not what I'm doing right now, guys, is not forcing to be positive, because I think it's good sometimes to acknowledge when something sucks. It sucks to have people outside my living room, which, by the way, I can't be naked there anymore. It's not that I am naked all the time, but I won't have any privacy for the next couple of weeks, hopefully weeks and not months. It sucks, but at least it could always be worse. It sucks to be rejected by the most amazing magazine in the world, but at least they contacted me in the first place, and at least they want to keep hearing about me. They're like, this is amazing, we love your work, please keep sending our way. So I'm like, okay, they're up for this nonsense. And of course it sucks to have the website down, but this gives me time to, for example, print postcards and to print more stickers. And there's a bunch of like packing things that I would love to print in the meantime. Like, for example, I would love to print tiny stickers to close, because you know that I'm going to sell t-shirts. So I would love to, thank God Jazz sent me tissue paper that was left over from the planners. So I'm going to use that same recycled tissue paper, but I would love to have a sticker to close the tissue paper with. Did I say that correctly? Anyway, you know what I mean. So this gives me a window of time in which I can print more things and like get everything ready, print more t-shirts and stuff. It's hard, guys. It's hard. I am not asking myself or you force yourself to be positive, or like you have to pretend that everything's fine. No, just like acknowledge it sucks, because it does. But I think it's more healthier to be more positive and grateful about things, even though when they suck, it's like, oh, this sucks, and like complain about it, but then move on. I think it's more healthy than pretending to like everything's fine and not acknowledging the thing, or B, on the contrary, acknowledging that everything sucks and stay on that like really shitty mindset, because you will harm not only yourself but the people surrounding you, especially if you're complaining about it all the time. Anyway, that's my take on it. Hopefully this was useful for you as well. I am so happy that you laugh about my sex life joke with the bed thingy. it made you laugh. I hope it made you laugh. My plans for this weekend, guys, are tomorrow, Friday, I have two photo shoots. I ask friends if they could pose with the t-shirts. So tomorrow and on Sunday, I'm going to take some pictures of friends that they look freaking amazing. They're very cool looking people, And they're doing me a favor to post with the t-shirts. So Ed is going to help me with the photo shoot as well. I'm charging the batteries of the camera and get leaving everything ready. And also, what else do I have to do? Oh, Ed and I did laundry this morning because we had so much laundry to do. Let me see what notes did I wrote. I want to take some gouache with me because during the weekend I would love to paint in my flat. I don't know if I mentioned this, guys, but my yesterday's flight was an 8-hour flight and it was during the day, so it wasn't like I'm gonna sleep this whole 8 hours, which you can never sleep those. I mean, Ed can, but I never sleep during the flight, or if I do, it's like a half sleeping. I never like full, like a deep sleep. Anyway, this was like a daytime flight. And it was a flight in which there were no screens and no internet. So I had nothing to watch or do but to draw. And yesterday during the flight, I sketched 7 pages. It's been such a long time since the last time I sketched so much. So I would love to paint those pages over the weekend. And I'm also seeing friends. And I would love to sleep, you guys, because I am currently experiencing jet lag, and I only know this because I woke up by myself 7 a.m. this morning, which is amazing. I love waking up at 7 a.m., but I never do without my alarm. So anyway, that's it, my loves. I was like, this podcast is going to be so short today, but it was 40 minutes long. I'm so sorry, guys. And it wasn't like jokey podcast, like I laugh so hard listening to Fran's podcast. It was like more of like information overload. So I'm so sorry, my loves. I hope you enjoy this podcast nonetheless. I don't know if I could share so much things on the descriptions, because since Ed and I were away, I haven't watched that many shows or read anything. We by the way, we left such in a hurry when we were traveling to Sevilla, because we thought we were traveling on Wednesday, and way last minute I decided to check my email and we realized we were actually traveling on Tuesday. So we were like, okay, we have 3 hours to leave to the airport. And I don't know what was wrong with me that day, maybe because we were in a rush, but I didn't take any books with me. So yeah. If today's podcast newsletter, it looks kind of empty, it's because of that, because I haven't consumed so much content, that many content. Anyway, I'm going to have lunch now, guys. But I hope you have an amazing Friday and weekend ahead. I love you so freaking much. You have no idea. Every time I see you, just like you there as any shape or form, commenting, not commenting, viewing or not viewing, it makes my heart shine. Is that too cutesy of me to say? Anyway, you make my life. Having the shop closed and having to pay a very expensive rent, not only my flat but my studio, I have no idea how I would have done this without you. So I just wanted to acknowledge that me being here, it's because of you. I know it sounds like a cliche, but I really mean this. I am here because of you. So thank you so much, my loves, for all your support, for being so patient, and for just existing. I love you so much, and I'll see you very soon, because now that I'm back, we can continue our duties with the Illustration Club. Anyway, I love you. I feel like we're talking and I don't want to hang up, but I have to go and eat. I love you, my loves. Have an amazing weekend. Bye.